Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Opening day is tomorrow for the Seattle Mariners. We are just over 24 hours away from watching Luis Castillo take the mound against the Boston Red Sox as we get this thing started. And I am very excited. You and I are going to be there, Bump. There's a lot to talk about with this team. And while we're going to focus heavily on essentially a preview for the season, for the series, for the team, mostly tomorrow, we did want to look back at some really good things that we heard from three national experts about the 2024 Mariners. Before I even get into this, I'll just start with your own feelings, Bump, about the start of the 2024 season. Are you excited? Are you optimistic? Are you nervous? What's the first word that comes to mind for you?
What did Kelly Kapowski say? Was it Kelly Kapowski? Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah,
I'm so excited. I'm so scared. That's me right now. I'm excited. I want to see what's about to go down, man. I'm excited for Julio, for Ty, for this rotation. I'm scared at the same time because you don't know who you are until you get out there. And then in baseball, you got to wait like 30 games before you really know who you are. So I'm excited for the start of the season. Opening day is going to be awesome. We'll be there on Thursday. We'll have some good interviews. We'll be in the atmosphere. Told the wifey, don't expect me home until about 10:30 because I'm going to engulf myself in this experience.
You just say, I got to wait out the crowd, babe. You know, I got to wait out the crowd.
I got to wait for the crowd to die down
a
little bit.
You know how it is, traffic.
But no, I'm excited. I'm excited because you got some new pieces. The Mariners made some moves. According to the experts, some experts, they see this team as potentially a World Series team. I don't think they're going to just put the stamp on them and say, look, I'm banking on them. But they think they have some of the pieces that resembles World Series type of team.
Now, sports radio stations, the Bump and Stacy version of an L.A. sports radio station, they're cooler, probably. I mean, you're from L.A., so maybe I'm just speaking for myself.
Sunglasses indoors.
I already told Curtis I'm dressed like a fisherman today.
I was Jesse Spano. I'm sorry, not Kelly Kapowski.
Oh, right,
Jesse
Spano. Right. Okay. Yeah, Kelly was on it. You know what I mean? She was on the right tracks. But the LA version of sports radio are bringing these guys on that you're going to hear from: Jeff Passan, Buster Olney, Jesse Rogers. And all three of those guys are like, yeah, the Dodgers better win a World Series. Like, that's the expectation. So they're not joining us going, yeah, the Mariners better win a World Series. That's exactly what the rest of baseball expects them to do. But what I found most interesting is that some of the fan sentiment, including my own, that I've heard about this team is a little more down than people who know a lot more about baseball than I do. And I found that weirdly refreshing to hang on to heading into the season. For instance, let's take a listen to Jeff Passan on with Brock and Salk.
I am very bullish on the Mariners in 2024. And I'll be honest, I flirted with picking them to go to the World Series this year. Wow. I didn't do it, but I don't think that it is unrealistic to believe that they have the talent and the ability to win a championship with this team.
That is not, I flirted with the idea of the Mariners being a playoff team. That is, I flirted with the idea of them being a World Series team. There's a difference between those two things. Why do you think he sees that ceiling as potential World Series dark horse as opposed to they might make the playoffs?
It all starts with the arms. And then I think when people talk about the Mariners across the country, at least when we talk to these people, the first thing they mention are the arms in this rotation. And then you lean towards the bullpen, even though you're waiting for some guys to get healthy in both situations. And then you look at Julio, an MVP caliber type of player. When you have that type of talent on your team, he has the ability to kind of raise the play of others. Not raise the play of others in basketball, how, you know, LeBron gets everybody involved, or in football, how Pat Mahomes drops dimes to several receivers, in a sense that, okay, this guy's going out there and balling, I'm feeling that energy, I'm just going to pull from that energy, take from his work ethic, and do some of the things that he's doing. So I think that's where it starts. And then you look at the support that Julio has, and the names we always talk about, JP, Friends, Cal. That's where it starts. The pitching, Julio, the core. you're still waiting to see what everybody else does or what everyone else is going to do. You're still waiting to see what Julio's going to do. You still got to go out there and prove all of this and back all of this up. But it's potential. Potential is a beautiful thing because you either meet your potential, you fall short of it. But at this point of the season, it's nice to have the Mariners in these conversations. And it's just because of what they have on paper, what people are projecting this team to do. So when I hear these guys who know way more baseball than I do, who are national voices, if they are viewing the Mariners in that light, I think I have to do a better job of trying to see them the same way.
Jesse Rogers also has the Mariners winning the AL West.
I just wrote something for ESPN.com that's going to run this week that I think Seattle's going to win the division. It's not even arguable that right now they probably have the best pitching staff. Just starting the season, they're the best on the mound that I can think of. They've bolstered their bullpen a little bit with some under-the-radar signings, although Santos is hurt, I know. And, yeah, they didn't spend a lot on the lineup. They never do, and I know that's a complaint up there in Seattle. But who knows if the two Mitches can come up with career years. I mean, certainly Haniger did a couple years ago, and Polanco's a sneaky good pickup. There's veteran experience there. There's playoff experience there. I picked Julio Rodriguez to win the MVP, so I'm all in on Seattle.
Really big part of looking at the rotation and how good that can be for Seattle is how much better it is than where your peers are right now in your division. It is going to be very difficult to win the AL West with Houston and the Rangers, both of whom have won World Series in the last two seasons, right on your tail, right ahead of you, or pulling ahead of you. But Tim Kirkjian, who we'll have on later in the show, will note this. Justin Verlander is starting the season for the Astros on the IL. The Rangers' big question last year was whether or not they can get their pitcher started, and they still got some starters they're going to be missing for part of the season. There are injury questions with that specific area for both of your AL West counterparts. You are starting the season, with the exception of Brian Wu being on presumably a short stint with the IL, healthy and ready to go.
That's why you got to come out hot. You got to take advantage of this situation. These teams are banged up. Some guys who they're going to rely on are going to be available. Same thing with you. But this is why you have to come out hot, because you get down 6, 7, 8, 9 games to these guys, it's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. Have we seen them climb out of a hole and put together a great month or a great couple of weeks and shorten that gap? We have seen that. But me and you, I think, are on the same page where we want to experience something we've never experienced before with this team, which is just having them come out coasting. I don't need you to be extremely explosive. I understand there's a ramp-up period, right? Everyone's been telling me to simmer down for a month now. All right, so now I'm getting into the season, and I go, look, you got guys in your division who are banged up, two of the best teams in all of baseball. You're in the toughest division in baseball. Now's your chance to come out hot and give yourself some breathing room, because you're going to reach a point in the season where the bats ain't hot. The arms ain't hitting the spots the way they used to. Maybe defensively you got some guys out. You're playing with Haggerty, who's actually on the IL as well, going to start the season on the IL. But guys like Demo, there are moments in a season where you're going to rely on your bench. You're going to rely on some arms that you typically don't. So start off hot and take advantage of this situation. I think that's extremely important, and I think they feel the same way, because last couple of years, it ain't been good.
What I hope is that if you start the season and you get to the end of July and you realize that the bats aren't as hot as you were hoping, maybe you get a major injury to your rotation, that they're more willing to hit the trade deadline more aggressively rather than just trying to we'll bring in bats, we'll move on from, a closer, and, we'll just try to get some extra hitters here. I hope that it becomes something where they think, what's the missing piece to make us a World Series team? That's the trade deadline I would like to see. We are months and months and months away from that. I can't even wear a t-shirt outside right now, right? We're not anywhere close to the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. But we are ready to talk about a team that is hoping to take that step forward. What feels so weird is I hear all these great things. I haven't even played sound from Buster Olney yet. And yet when I think of my own kind of expectation for the season, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, but when I think of my own, what is the baseline? What is the bar that they have to clear for it to be a successful season? I think just make playoffs. Maybe it should be higher. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think it's make playoffs. I think for us, because we've been hurt so many times before, that's all you want, because you've seen what they can do when they get into the playoffs. You can get hot. It's not about being the best team throughout the whole season. That would be lovely. I would love to be in first place in the AL West the majority of the season. to me, that's not realistic. It's about playing your best ball at the right time, late in the season. Now, you got to start off fast. You have to weather the storms. You have to not fall too far behind your competitors. But what you want to do is go into the last few months of the season and feel really good about your team, the way they're playing, their health, and get into the playoffs. That's the type of team that the Mariners are. Mm-hmm. They're not a dominant team. They're not a team that you're looking at and saying they're going to win 100 games this year and coast into this thing. Again, know who we are. This is who we are. I think this is a team that can get into the playoffs, and then you never know. It's like we got to evaluate this team before the season starts and say these are our expectations. Right in the middle of the season, who are we now? And then towards the end of the season, is this team good enough to get in? Because once you're in the dance, man, even I pulled a dime when I had no business pulling me a dime once I got into the door.
Jenny's,
you know, go ahead and pull you a dime once you get in. It's possible. Trust me.
God, you know what could be fun tomorrow? And I'll have to remember to do this, and I want it so that listeners can participate too. Your most realistic and unrealistic expectation for the season, for instance. My most realistic expectation is that George Kirby has a great, solid year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a realistic expectation that George Kirby continued to do exactly what he's been doing. My most unrealistic expectation is more of a funny one. I don't want champagne touching the Astros clubhouse. I don't want a single bottle of champagne at any point in that clubhouse, yeah, near it, within
like
a
that.
Mile of the vicinity. You know what I mean?
That.
I don't want it. So we'll do that. Let's do that tomorrow. That could be a fun opening day. Is going to be really fun. We're so excited. We're going to have guests you guys are really, really happy to hear from tomorrow. And we'll have some time, as will you guys, to think about our answers for that. Let's get to Buster Olney. Bump and wrap this one up. So this is what Buster had to say. It's not necessarily just his opinion, but you'll like where it comes from. He polled executives around the league about the Mariners.
I talked to Evan Grant, who has covered the division forever. He's a beat writer covering the Rangers, and I asked him last week who's going to win the division. He said, I think the Mariners are. Mm-hmm. And that reflects, I think, the view of a lot of people, that they think the Mariners are going to be really good this year. I'm in the process of doing, you know, this informal poll of, actually it's a formal poll of executives around baseball about some different categories. And one of them is the surprise team of the year, and the Mariners are getting the most votes.
I guess by making the playoffs as opposed to not making the playoffs, you'd be a surprise playoff team. But I think there's something, as down as we can be, as critical as you and I have been at times about a lack of spending, about some of that stuff, about team building, there is something with this team that clearly these executives, these experts, these writers see, Bump.
And we're not foolish enough to say, forget what they're saying.
Right.
What do you mean?
Jeff Passan thing.
Jeff Passan, who's that guy? No, we're not that dumb, okay? So I'm going to listen to these guys, and I will shift my expectations just a little bit. I also think that we're closely connected to the team. Therefore, our emotions will come out a bit more when it comes to the squad. So it's nice sometimes to get some fresh eyes, guys who look at all the teams in the league, who take their time and break it down and do it from a place that's just business. No emotion, just business. This is what I think of that team. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shift my expectations just a little bit. I'm going to listen to the outside noise, because I think it's important to look at the situation from every other angle, and go in this season just full of joy and optimism. Mm-hmm. And I've gone through my angry phase. I've gone through my disappointed phase. All right. And I think it's okay for fans to feel that way and to go through that. But now these are your dudes. Now these are your Mariners. You know who your starting lineup is going to be. You know what this rotation is going to look like. You know what the bullpen is going to look like when Brash gets healthy. Now it's just time to be optimistic and support them. Because if you go into a season just so negative and heavy, it's going to be a long season for you. Let them give you a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
But go into the season, I would hope most people go into the season and say, all right, this is a better team from last year. They do have some arms. You do have an MVP candidate. Let's go ahead and see what happens.
Well, and everyone's a fan, right? Like I can get sometimes almost angry when I talk about team building, and part of that's just you watch this over and over and over. I mean, all of my childhood and most of my childhood, teenagehood, early adulthood, the entirety of my 20s was with this team not in the playoffs. Same with Curtis, obviously, who grew up here too. And Bump, since you were here as a teenager in college,
yep,
right? You're Washington too. We claim you. that all of us, you know, it builds up a kind of not resentment, but apprehension.
Yeah.
And maybe not for every Mariners fan, but certainly for me. I don't think anyone is being hypocritical by saying, despite that apprehension, despite sometimes being angry or despite being frustrated, I still watch every game.
Still going to watch.
I still root for every run. You know what I mean? Yeah. You still find yourself being like, here I go again. Mm-hmm. And that's baseball. You can't help it.
I'm back in it. And one last thing. If these nationwide experts, national experts, are saying this about this ball club, maybe we should give management a bit more credit than we have. Because they are the baseball minds. I love me some baseball. I watch baseball. Couldn't hit a curveball in high school. That's why I stopped playing. But I love the game. But I'm not deep into the weeds like these guys. No, I'm not deep into the weeds like the Mariners are. All I can do is react to what's happening in front of me and look at the data that I can look at. So if these guys are saying the potential of this team is great and we're hearing the same thing from management, we got to meet somewhere in the middle and say, okay, let's give management more credit. Let's see what these players do. But you still got to go out there and play the games. The games will let you know who this team really is.
Well said, Bump. One final thing I want to say from a listener. They said, imagine clinching the division in Houston. I will say, the second to last series of the season.
Be all about that.
At Houston, that'd be nice. September 23rd, 24th, 25th.
You know what? I wouldn't mind that. I just don't want any plastic being set up in the Astros clubhouse.
That's,
you know,
what I'm
they're setting up.
That's what
so
I'm saying.
If we're clinching it in Houston, I would assume that Houston's going to be setting up for their own type
then
of celebration.
I want the Mariners to go over and wheel the champagne into the Mariners clubhouse. They will
take it from
there.
Yeah,
can we borrow some extra plastic?
I hope the cart that they push over has some squeaky wheels so they hear it.
Yeah,
coming by.
You can kind of hear it going away. Honestly,
squeaky,
Mariners
squeaky.
Fans have been through so much pain that, like, it's fine to dream of this, and I know that that's late in the season to where, like, it's down to the wire who would take the division. I love that idea. I love the idea of that happening in Houston. You end it with a home – end the entirety of the regular season with a home series against the A's, which, you know, technically last time they clinched a playoff spot was against the A's, so that's kind of fun, but, yeah. Second to last series against Houston. What could happen?
Jamal.
All right, you guys, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Headline number one. After starting the spring 1-9-1, the Mariners managed to wrap up the Cactus League with a winning record after yesterday's game. What's the real headline?
Players are heading back up to Seattle. Meanwhile, the average age in Arizona is heading back up to 80.
Dang.
You know it's true, though. You know it's true. My parents have a house in Sun City, Arizona, which is a retirement community right next. It's like next door to Peoria where the Mariners have spring training.
Yeah.
When I tell you that having been born in the 80s, I am the youngest person within like a 10-mile radius.
I can't even. Hey, that's where I'm going to end up, for sure. I'm going to end up right in Arizona.
Yeah, it's nice
going
there.
Going to these Spring League games, riding around in my golf cart.
I mess with Arizona.
You know what's crazy about this headline? So what? Don't matter if they start ended the spring training with a winning record. It doesn't matter, right? We got to see what they do now. But I'm excited. I hold on to stuff like that. You started off with 1-9-1, I think Curtis said.
Yeah.
You finished with a winning record. I'm all for progress. I love seeing that progress. I would feel a bit different if they didn't kind of climb out of that whole thing. But a lot of these guys aren't going to be on opening day roster. Mm-hmm. We understand that. Mm-hmm. But the guys we wanted to see actually had themselves a good spring training. So you got to kind of dig through the weeds a little bit when it comes to who this team really is because of all the guys you see during spring training. Mm-hmm. But I'm all for it, man. You look at the guys you're counting on, they had themselves a good spring training.
Well, and importantly, outside of bullpen arms and woo, you got out of spring training mostly healthy, right? You didn't have any major names that you're watching in terms of helping your lineup deal with much of anything. And that's really important too entering Thursday.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, when it mattered the least, the Kraken blew out the Ducks last night to end their winless streak. What's the real headline?
Some people say you play your best hockey once you're eliminated from the playoffs. Are they even math? I think they might have. Are they officially eliminated or is it like
0.02%? Like yeah, it's minuscule.
I saw someone say an example.
I think they have been eliminated.
Okay. Someone had an example of their final playoff odds. And I'm butchering it, but they were like, imagine taking a deck of cards and you draw it and it's a black ace. So like a spade or a club. If the next card you draw is also a black ace, that's their odds of making the playoffs.
Goodness gracious.
I'm so sorry I don't have their X.com handle, but it was a great way to lay out what odds look like when they're that low.
So yeah, they haven't officially been eliminated yet, but it's like 0.00000. one.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible.
It's true. Basically, you got to win out and hope that, like, I think it's St. Louis who is 9 points ahead of them. They lose out. Yeah.
I'll say this.
It's not looking good.
Bump, how you finish a season, even if in both cases you don't make the playoffs, matters. We have seen versions of teams finish the season not making the playoff, but with a little bit of hope, with a little bit of excitement. Maybe you ended the season strong. Even non-Seattle things. I'm thinking of the Detroit Lions, who beat Green Bay and sent Seattle to the playoffs as a wildcard team against San Francisco 2 years ago.
Nope.
That team ended the season strong. This is not what's happening with the Kraken. They are ending the season not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Exactly, a whimper. I watched, what did we watch last night? King Arthur with my daughter for her birthday. You just remind me of the dog. Go see that movie. It's a great movie.
King Arthur.
But, yeah, okay. This reminds me of, I was at my son's game on Saturday. They lost to the best team in the state. They're, like, so much better than my son's team. And they score one goal. I think the final score is, like, 4-1. And one of the parents yells, "Just as good as a win, guys. Be proud."
No!
I looked at him and I said, "That is a loser mentality, sir. Loser mentality. That's what this feels like right here."
Just as good as a win, guys.
I looked at my wife. I go, "Are you kidding me right now? I'm pulling my son off this team next year."
I'm going to start doing that for anything that happens to me. Just anything bad. I'm going to be like, "Well, it's just as good as this." You know what I mean?
It was embarrassing. He should be embarrassed.
Brent's going to be like, "Where's that article you were supposed to send in yesterday?" I'm going to be like, "Honestly, you know, not writing one is just as good as writing it because I tried."
Exactly.
I tried last night to send this and I just got distracted, but the effort is what matters.
Soft.
Headline rewrite.
What's one of the softest things that you can remember hearing? Maybe from, like, it could be an athlete, it could be a friend that you have, as long as you keep it anonymous. But I know.
I'll never forget this day. My mom was dating this dude back in the day. I was in middle school. And it was the Patriots versus the Philadelphia Eagles. This is my second or third time meeting this dude. And you have to pick a team. You have to pick a team. And me, as like a 13-year-old, I go, "Hey, who you going for?" He goes, "Oh, man, this made the best team win." I looked at my mom and go, "He ain't it, Mom. He is not
it."
Nah, man, she got
not
rid of that dude
Renee.
Like a few months later. Man, yeah. He ain't it. Pick a team. Soft.
Trying to impress the child of a single mom, that's got to be a losing battle every time.
If you would have picked the team.
In, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He comes in there trying to do that.
My mom, soft. I don't mean to put her on blast. This is really mean, but I love my parents' story. She married my stepdad when I was young. Then they got divorced. Then they got remarried. But in the interim, she, you know, there's a couple guys. I went through the same thing. Like, it's a single mom. And, you know, it's always weird as a teen when your mom's dating and you're, like, you know, seeing her as dating and these guys. One of them was an Elvis impersonator.
Really?
He was really nice. He was really nice. But we were on a lake for 4th of July. And he was inebriated, and he put on his full Elvis regalia because across the lake, a party for the 4th of July had hired an Elvis impersonator, and it was a battle of
he
the
impersonators.
I swear to God, he was like, "Wait, what?" And so he went to put on his outfit. He stood on top of a paddle boat that was being paddled by my cousins. Then he fell in. The belt fell off, and I'm telling you right now, in the bottom of Angle Lake in SeaTac, Washington, if you feel like diving for it, is an Elvis impersonator belt.
Wow.
Somewhere in the depths of that lake. Anyways,
and
then she remarried.
This guy thought he was cooking.
I know. He was a great guy. He had a daughter. He was such a good dad. They just weren't meant for each other, but then she remarried my stepdad, and I love their love story. So that's so off the rails, you guys. I'm so sorry. What's
no, that was a great story.
The movie I watched was Arthur the King. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Curtis, what's our last one? We'll be fast here.
Last one, John Calipari returning to Kentucky for a 16th season despite yet another early NCAA tournament exit. What's the real headline?
I can think of 33 million reasons why.
Easy. I mean, and who are you going to get? Who are you
exactly.
going to get? I mean, that's
no
as good as it gets.
It,
nobody wants
Absolutely
that one not. And done. It's hard to win. Easy decision.
You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. We heard from one of the newest Seahawks for the first time ever. That's coming up next.
Bump and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
We heard from one of the newest Seahawks this morning for the first time. Sam Howell joined Brock and Salk to talk about his journey with Washington, what he's been told his role will be with the Seahawks, what went into a trade to the Seahawks. So let's talk about all of it right now. I'm curious to know what Sam thinks about what he'll be doing in Seattle. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it's just taking it one day at a time. Geno's still the guy, and, you know, I'm going to try to do everything I can to just come in and work and just try to get better and try to be a good teammate and support Geno and, you know, do whatever I can, you know, to help the team win. But at the same time, always trying to compete, you know, and always – every single time I step on the field, just always trying to, you know, show these guys what I can do and what I'm capable of. But, yeah, I'm just taking it one day at a time, not trying to worry too much about the future. I'm just excited to get there and, you know, get to work with new coaches, new teammates. So I'm excited.
Knows he's brought here in that backup role. It must be hard as a backup to answer those questions, though, without, like, delicately.
Yeah, because Sam Howell thinks he is capable of being a starter in this league for sure. He was a starter last year. And as a backup, your job is to support the starter 100%, something Geno did beautifully for Russell Wilson. But you also got to keep your edge and keep preparing as if you are the starter. Once you lose your edge in the NFL, you're done. That's how I knew I was done playing football. I lost my edge. I started thinking about getting hurt all the time, mm-hmm. and just wasn't playing freely. You have to keep your edge. So being a backup quarterback is tough because you're looking at some of the mistakes maybe a Geno makes, and you'll say, I'm better than him in this area, or I'm better in this in that area. But your job is to support and uplift him. It's a tough situation to be in, but because Sam Howell is so young, there's no rush. So I hope his camp, the people who are talking to him, just reminds him of that. You are going to get another opportunity in this league to be a starter, whether it's with the Seattle Seahawks or somewhere else. You just play your position at this point, but your mental never changes. I am a starter in this league. I will be a starter in this league, and I can ball. You don't throw 21 touchdowns on accident. Mm. Yes, you threw 21 interceptions,
but you also threw
4,000 yards.
I'm glad you mentioned those 21 interceptions. He also took the most sacks in the league. Here's what he said about trying to clean that performance up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the interceptions, you know, got to do a better job, and I think there were some times where we were down in some games, and then I was just trying to be a little aggressive. And at times, maybe just trying to do a little too much, trying to give us a chance. But got to be smarter. Got to play smarter football. Got to play winning football. And at times, I was doing it. You know, just got to do it at a more consistent rate. And I feel confident about my ability to do that. It's just a matter of if I get an opportunity, I got to go out there and show it.
I know that you didn't have time, Bump, to watch like every single Sam Howell game, but you did look at some tape in preparation after the trade to get ready for our shows. Do you see from that tape potential for Sam Howell to be much cleaner a player than he was?
Yeah, for sure. And I watched the tape on Sam Howell, and I watched all of his interceptions. A lot of them are exactly what he described, late in the game, trying to make a play.
Desperate.
Yeah, and the fact that he's not afraid to try to make that play, I love. Now you got to taper it a little bit. Like, okay, it's risk-reward. Live to fight another down. If it's first down, you don't need to get it all in one. Little things, little processes that quarterbacks go through to make them better. I always go back to Peyton Manning. My guy's not going to be a Peyton Manning. But in 1998, Peyton Manning, his first year, he was 3-13. He threw the ball 575 times, the most in the NFL at that time. 56% completion rate, 26 touchdowns, 28 interceptions. He bounces back the next year, 26 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and then 33 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Not saying my man is going to be a Peyton Manning, but I'm just showing you that even the great struggle at some time, and when you're asked to lead a franchise as a young guy, I believe it was his second year in the league, but his first year starting, essentially we call it his rookie year. Mm-hmm. You're asked to get in there and lead a team that's not very good, doesn't have all the talent around you that you need. It's going to be tough, and you're going to feel that pressure to win because you are the quarterback, and we always look at the quarterback's wins and losses. I think that's kind of a shady stat. How many wins or losses does a quarterback have? Because we all know that their performance is greatly affected by the people who are around them. But, you know, he understood, like, look, I was trying to make some plays. And I have a year film to dissect, to look at, to work on, and now I get to sit for a year. So even the great struggle, it's all about the bounce back for Sam, and hopefully we don't see him this year. If we don't see Sam this year, that's a good thing. That means he has more time to sit and develop, and Geno's doing his thing. I think this is a good situation for him. He probably won't be the starter here in Seattle. He'll go somewhere else, but this is a step in the right direction for his development. This year is going to be crucial for him.
One of the interesting things about Sam's interview with Brock and Salk this morning was it wasn't just about Sam. When he was with Washington, he and the Commanders faced off against Mike McDonald's defense in joint practices with Baltimore, so he offered a little bit of insight there.
Yeah, so we had a joint practice with the Ravens last year, so I got the chance to go against them, and man, they had a good defense, and Mike was doing a really good job, and obviously, you know, they had a lot of success, not only last year, but all the years he was there, and it was just fun to watch. He does some really good things from a pressure standpoint that make it really hard to, you know, from a quarterback perspective of picking up protections and knowing which way to slide the protection. And they're always really good at disguising things and kind of showing the opposite of what they're going to do. So I'm excited to play with them. And I know for sure we'll have a good defense.
He continued that here?
Yeah. Obviously I don't want to speak for coach, but, you know, I think, you know, they'll probably do a little bit more in the pressure world. And the Seahawks, they did pressure a little bit last year. But I think you'll probably see a lot more disguising. I think the players will probably enjoy it more than the scheme they played last year. And I think it'll give them more opportunities to be successful. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And, you know, we haven't really talked scheme or anything. And I'm sure we'll learn pretty fast as far as what they plan on doing and the direction he wants to go. But whatever he decides to do with the defense, it'll be really good.
So that's his insight into Mike McDonald's defense with Baltimore. We don't know exactly what that scheme is going to look like in Seattle, but he anticipates there being maybe more pressures. I know that we were just talking about Sam, but with 2 minutes left in this segment, Bump, let's kind of transition a little bit to what Sam had to say about the defense. What do you anticipate looking a little bit different based on everything you know and then what you heard from Sam?
I expect a lot of pre-snap movement and bluffing inside the box when you're talking about pressure. Because what you want to do is confuse the offensive line and have them mix up their responsibilities. And that's what I saw when I watched film with the Baltimore Ravens. Granted, you had two of the best linebackers in the league playing for the Baltimore Ravens, so you're allowed to be creative. Then I look at Jerome Baker and Dotson, and I say, look, obviously they're not Queen and Smith, but they're those type of linebackers where they can move and bluff and drop into space and get to where they're supposed to be. With that pressure, you got to expect some man on the back end as well. I look at Devin Witherspoon, comfortable with him playing man. Rick Woolen, comfortable with him playing man. Then Julian has to get down in the box, play against a tight end or a slot receiver. I feel good there as well. We'll see what the other safety is going to look like, who's going to be, and how much playing time they're going to get. So, yeah, I expect movement. And that's as an offensive guy, a guy who's coached quarterbacks, has been an offensive coordinator, movement kills you because you're making the offensive line and the quarterback have to diagnose exactly what's going on even after the snap. You got your pre-snap read, you got your in-play read, and then you have to go with what you believe and what you've diagnosed. So making the offense have to think as long as possible is a great thing, but you got to be solid on the back end if you're going to bring pressure. I welcome that. I don't think you're going to be crazy and send pressure 90% of the time. That wouldn't be smart, right? But being smart about when you do it and how you do it and having the guys to show that pressure and that confusion and that bluff, I think this puts more pressure on offense, and that's what we need.
Good stuff from Sam. I know it kind of evolved into a conversation about the defense, but I didn't realize he'd have that insight into having had some scrimmages and mm-hmm. in combined practices with McDonald's team. All right, you're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. We are getting back to baseball with ESPN's Tim Kirkjian. That's coming up at 11. Lots of questions about the Mariners to get to with him. Before we get to it, though, it's time for Get Off My Lawn. That's coming up next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
One of my favorite segments on this entire station when Michael Bumpus, now this was initially inspired by Bump, inching ever closer towards 40, you realize that things that didn't used to irritate you now. Maybe you're getting a little more old school. Maybe you see the world differently, but all of a sudden you feel like that old man shouting, get off my lawn. So what you got for us today?
Yeah. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yeah. Yep. I'm feeling it this morning. And, you know, I'm going to start off. I'm going in on baseball again. I was a bit confused, Stacey.
Okay.
You know, I switched my workout schedule this week. I did like a an evening type of workout this week as kids, and I needed that extra hour of sleep.
Sure.
And I get on the treadmill, and I see advertisement or the pregame show for the Dodgers game. I go, Dodgers baseball, let's get it, baby. Let's see Ohtani. Let's see everybody. The season is here. Let's go. And then I watched them take the field, and they're not wearing their traditional jerseys. They're not wearing the uniform they're supposed to wear. It's another exhibition game. Weren't we just in South Korea? Didn't they just play two official games in South Korea? And now you're going to trick me while I'm on my treadmill getting ready for Dodger baseball, and it's not a real game? You're jacking up the schedule. You're playing with the people's heart, MLB. You already messed it up by having those guys play at, like, 3:30 in the morning, and then you say, hold on, these two games count, but we got a few more to play before it gets official while I'm in the States. Stop messing with me, Major League Baseball. All right, that's why I'm leaning on my Mariners on Thursday, you know? I thought, thank goodness the Mariners have been honest to me. They say, look, we're going to play these 30 games over there in Peoria, and then on Thursday, it happens. Why the mix-up? If you're going to separate the schedule like that, just move the game so that you go from opening day right into real baseball. I'm on my treadmill. I'm getting excited. It's fake baseball. You know how I feel about fake baseball. I'm tired
That's
of
like
it.
The equivalent of
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Leads like me or Mike or Bob being like, you won't believe what's coming up next. And up next is like, Mariners have some new food items at T-Mobile.
Exactly. I was hyped.
I'm sorry.
Ready
for
to go.
The tease.
Mookie at shortstop. Let's get it.
What's next?
Goodness gracious.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
All right. These kids love social media. They've grown up in the social media era, and it there's some good and there's some bad. But now I'm seeing adults kind of transition to we are the social media era, especially athletes. I'm so tired of seeing athletes' workout videos. I'm tired of seeing it. I see Russell Wilson working out with a chain on one day. Then I see him working out with glasses on indoors the other day. And then I see Derrick Henry, much respect, one of the ballers in the game. But the part that killed me the most too is that they're both working out in Jordan Grinches. I'm looking at it, I go, look, stop with all the workout videos. We understand you're going to be ready to go. Leave that for the kids. I follow so many kids in my football program, and all it is look at me, we won this tournament. Look at me, I'm working out here. Good for y'all. You guys are kids. I'm looking at these grown amen and saying, why are you posting these videos like that? Thirst trap videos, shirts off, right? I'm running, slow motion, all this editing. Just work in silence. Real G's move in silence like what, Stacey?
Lasagna.
Move in silence sometimes. Every now and then you post a video, I'm all good for that. Let the people know that you're grinding. But it's like every single day there's a new video of a guy working out. And I saw Devontae Adams speak the other day, and I appreciate him for that. He goes, look, I don't post my workout videos because I'm just going to go out there and grind. I'm going to let the work on the field speak for itself. We're getting caught up in the social media look at me type stuff. It's okay to post your videos, but when every other video is you working out, we know you're working out. You better be working out. Your team is paying for you to work out. Just move in silence sometimes, man. I'm looking at all these videos, and maybe I'm jealous. Maybe because I'm turning 40 and my body don't look like that no more. Maybe that's it, Stace, but whatever it is, it's irking the heck out of me. And stop working out in Kobe's shoes. They're expensive. I know you got the money, but they're expensive.
Complaining about social media and working out in expensive shoes might be your most old man take yet.
Old as heck, man. You know, when I work out, I put on the dirtiest shoes I got and just get after it. But I ain't got money like them. I don't have a body like them. So maybe this really is me being a grumpy old man and saying, because I can't do it and look like that, I don't want to see it on my timeline when I'm scrolling.
Fair. I'm a man. I'm 40.
What do we got last?
All right. What we got? Okay, guys. The NFL changes every year. We don't all have to agree on the changes that are happening. Okay? We got the hip drop. Everyone's losing their minds off of this. Oh, my God. What are they supposed to do? Things change. You used to be able to clothesline a man back in the 90s, back in the 80s. You used to be able to chop a dude at his knees. Guess what? They change because they see all these old guys with all these with CTE and their bodies are all jacked up. My buddy CJ Marsh, his dad Marsh, went to Snohomish High School and played for the Raiders. He's all jacked up just because of the type of football that they played. He wouldn't change anything for the world. I know that man, Mr. Marsh, what up? He wouldn't change anything. But the reason why they're giving things a try is because they're trying to make the game safer. Now, here was my solution for the hip drop. Outside of the box, you don't hip drop. Inside the box, you do whatever you got to do to get a man down, just like when players lead with their helmets in the box, because it's almost impossible to eliminate that. I get that, okay? okay? And the kickoff rule. People said, oh, the kickoff is going to be dumb. All right, even if it is dumb, just give it a chance. Give it a chance for it to work or for not to work. We saw the NFL get rid of the pass interference or reviewing the pass interference because they couldn't get it right. Mm-hmm. Things change all the time. You have to be not okay with it, but at least give it a chance. And it's just time to stop whining about it. It's time to stop whining about it. It is what it is. The NFL is not going to go back right now. You're going to see a hit band drop. Referees are going to get it wrong. You're going to see kickoff. No surprise onside kicks. Just deal with it. I can't stand people just sitting there and whining about it. And then everyone goes on Twitter and is a freaking expert. And you couldn't even make a JV team. But now you're an expert on the hip drop. You never even done a hip drop. And then people act like a tackle's never been made without a hip drop. You know who else banned the hip drop? Rugby players. And you don't hear none of those guys complain. They're the best tacklers in all the game because there are no pass and they have to use their technique. Become a better tackler. Instead of sitting there and whining about, I can't do this, I can't do that. I understand it. It's hard to play defense. Just be a better tackler. But you know what we can do? Pay defenders more then. If you're going to make their job harder, pay defenders more.
Okay.
That's my solution. I get your frustration, but what the heck is whining going to do about it? It's like my son when I tell him to go clean his room. He whines. He's all there. I go, what's whining going to do? Now you're going to go in there. It's going to take you 30 minutes to clean your room. It could have taken you 5. Change your mental. Be mentally tough. And if you haven't made your JV team, stop at me on Twitter talking about, bum, you're an offense. You don't know what you're talking about. I made a tackle in the NFL. I ran down on kickoff and made a tackle in the NFL. Goodness gracious. Let those dudes be professionals and switch your game up. Stop crying about the rules. Rules are rules. It's dumb to me that the speed limit is 60 on 522. It should be 75, but it's 60. But you know what I do? My black butt goes 60 because I don't want nobody pulling me up and blurping me like we had old boy in the interview the other day. Just follow the dang rules and give it a chance. If it don't work, they'll switch it. Get off my lawn. Stop crying.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
That was that last one. You know what? Here's the thing. And Curtis, I know you do this too. After every get off my lawn, I always go, that was the best one. But man.
A place in your heart.
I blacked
right?
out.
Yeah,
I
know.
I blacked out.
You really did.
Yeah.
You became a different person, but a person we still love so much.
You towel off in the break.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're hitting break right now. We're going to come back with lots of Mariners questions for ESPN. Tim Kirkjian, don't go anywhere.